Hello and welcome to another episode of Shuffling Notes, where we take a deep dive into songs, albums, artists, and all things music. And I mean really take a deep dive, so be ready. I'm your co-host, Prankit.
And I'm your co-host, Razi.
And today we are going to be talking about an Irish rock band called The Script and their first the debut album, which was also called The Script. So yeah, Razi, you know, do you have an idea of like when was the first time you heard of The Script, and you know, was it a particular album or song that left an impression?
I think you were the first one who introduced me to The Script, and I think besides that, breakups were something that introduced me
into
the album, basically. I think this was the album at the time as well.
Yeah, I mean, this album came out in 2008, and I think I want to say that when I really started listening to The Script, I think maybe their second album, which was Science and Faith, I'm not sure what year that came out. I don't know if that was already out or not. But I think you're definitely onto something with breakups there, because like they had some great breakup songs for that time. And I think if you're going through a breakup, there'd always be a friend who would recommend like a script song or something while they'll play it.
It was basically, I think, love. I don't want to, you know, put a negative sort of aura around it, but
it is
just
a,
love.
They do good love songs, but their breakup songs are on point.
I mean, you feel the touch.
I mean, so you know, the debut album was released 2008, and again, it's one of those things where I think the initial reviews were a bit more mixed, but the songs did really well. The singles that they released, they charted really well. I think the songs really resonated with sort of the audience at the time. And I think I think there was a little bit of resistance for whatever reason. I know at the time as well, there were people saying that, oh no, they kind of sound a little generic but I know, I feel like their songs very much have an identity that you can very much, for most songs, you can say, oh, this is The Script song, because it is, they have a unique sort of DNA. I don't feel that it's generic at all. But I think there was some apprehension at the beginning when this album came out, in terms of at least the critics and the professional environment, where it was received. It was a bit more mixed than I would have thought it would be.
Do you know the reason for that?
I was just reading two.
Just that they were not happy.
And I think most of the reviews, what they were saying was, you know, there's one or two good songs in there, but there's nothing really special. It sounds very generic, whatever that means. And I think by that, maybe it just, they listened to it, and I guess it didn't resonate with the critics, but definitely it did resonate with, like, the average Joe. Like, the songs did really well. They charted quite well. I think they were released initially in UK and Northern Ireland, and then I think it was rolled out internationally after the fact. But even internationally, some of the songs from this particular album, at least, they did really well, the singles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is there anything you want to say before we sort of dive into the track list and go track by track?
I mean, there's nothing. It's just the music that stood out for The Script for me at the time, and I think if we go track by track, we each track has its own memory attached to it, so we'll have to sort of go there for some reason.
I mean, I think on the outset, the only other thing I want to say is, even initially hearing the songs when I first did, I remember just, you know, Danny, who's the lead singer, like his voice, I think it really left an impression on me, because there's this, like, he goes very high pitch or high register, but there's like this unique identity, I feel like, to his voice in certain songs that really draw you in, because it's literally like, again, I keep using that word, like, desperation in all these videos, but it is there in his voice where he draws you in.
right.
where you can sort of feel that he's, you know, how he's feeling. He can sort of convey that with his voice very well, I think. Especially as we see in some of the breakup oriented songs. But yeah, so let's start with the track list. So the first song was We Cry. And so I was reading about this a little bit. It's about the people Danny knew in Dublin growing up. And you can sort of, you know, you'd assume that listening to the song as well. But yeah, what's your sort of initial thoughts about this song?
As we also go along in the album, there are parts where there's sort of sound designing in the song itself. For example, this one starts off with sounding off like a from a Walkman. Walkman.
Yeah.
And or maybe inside a room, like you kind of visually place the sound coming from.
When it's used correctly, these type of effects, because I think again it draws you in as you're listening, because the way if it sounds like it's coming out of a stereo, and then it slowly, you know, changes into like a full surround sound type.
Exactly.
Draws
so
you in a little bit just from the beginning with the tune to start.
It just could be from, you know, someone listening inside a room or someone listening through a wall or something like that. Like it's just a muffled sound and then sort of surrounds you. And so that's just one part of sound designing which is there. But I mean, there are more songs that sort of explore different areas of that, which I just heard, and I was I just felt that was interesting.
And I think, you know, and the lyrics themselves, I think starting with the first song, this song is not actually about a breakup, but I like to think it's more, you know, the way it's like together we cry, it's sort of more about just like the human condition in general and like things that go wrong in society sort of. And
it's about Jenny and Mary.
Yeah,
so,
and it's about, and
like,
you know, people
and their lives,
growing up,
yeah.
the struggles people went through, you know, the ambitions and hopes they had before they were crushed or whatever by the modern world. I think, but there's very much that aspect of together we cry. It's not necessarily shifting the blame to like one part of society or the other. It's just in general that, you know, life can suck sometimes regardless who you are. And I think
and
an element
what you
of
plan
that.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting song to start with, to start the album off with.
I think it's more generalized. Like it's not focused on a particular person, but it's just
It's like an anthem, isn't it?
You know, people will feel it because that's how it is.
If it's also there's part of it which is generational, because some of the issues and things that, you know, he brings up. I mean, some of them have always existed, you know, like depression and substance abuse, but things like teenage pregnancies and stuff that was getting a lot more limelight in the 2000s when people, and, you know, and him growing up, you know, in the 80s, 90s.
Right.
I think there's certain sort of generational things embedded in this song that relate to the struggles of his generation of having dreams and ambitions, but being crushed by the economy and trying to figure a way out. But it's sort of like an anthem, isn't it? Together we cry.
Yeah.
But cool song.
Yeah.
And then now the second song is Before the Worst. And this is our first sort of post-breakup, trying to cope type of song going on. You know, find yourself asking, like, when did it all go wrong? Like, what if you could go back before that time? And I think, again, quite universal, wouldn't you say? As someone having gone through breakups, multiple breakups each year.
It's just again the sound. I'll come to the sound designing. Like it was very evident for me this time around, and the whole song is sung. I mean, the whole Danny. Is singing the song in a pace where you're trying to make someone listen to you while, you know, you have to compress everything together and tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what we were and this is how good it was. So let's just go back there right now before you go.
And
you know, like
why
before...
can't we just go back there? You know, like, let's try it again. You know, let's not make that mistake we made. But sometimes it's just...
I mean, there's... So you just, like, the way he's singing, it's explaining his expression a lot, where he's like, you know, I'm just trying to say so many things and just hear me out.
And I go back to before, that word, Razi, desperation. Yeah.
True.
He does it very well. And, you know, I like it. I don't know. This is something I need to think about, perhaps. Because obviously I heard a lot of these songs when, you know, I was younger when they were coming out. And I, obviously I have memories associated to songs and stuff. But in particularly in this album, some of the songs, they have these little details in the lyrics that for me just adds it, makes it a touch more personal and relatable than, like, say, a generic breakup song. Like, I just have one line here, which is, "You were vodkas and coke, I was Guinness all night." And it just feels like something that is so personal for someone like, you know, someone like Danny to say to his girlfriend at the time or whoever he's breaking up with. But at the same time, true, I find it relatable that these are little things that you have with your partner, right? She might like a specific drink. It's a small detail, but I think it just elevates it, true, a little bit more for me to feel personal and related to it. Or it feels like this is real. You know, he means what he's saying. It's not just fancy sounding words put together. It is, he's pouring his heart out there in this, mm-hmm, in this song, and a lot of the songs, which I think draws me in a lot. But I'm sure, you know, there's bias, because, like, obviously I have memories associated to these songs, and so for me it does feel more personal.
Maybe. I mean, so it's the same for me. So I just kind of heard these songs without adding, well, my memories to it and going deep, because it was the lyrics which attached me back then, because they were so, as you mentioned, personal, and you really felt it because that's how it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's for a lot of the songs as we go along.
It seems to be something that the script are really good at. At least it seems, and that's the thing, I don't know if it's universally true of how people feel about the script, but for me, the songs that I really enjoy from them, they always feel very personal. And I like to think that it's true for a lot of people, because, you know, they're not very specific, but, like, Before the Worst, it's about, you know, you're talking about a romantic relationship and trying to go back before things go wrong, but it's a more universal feeling, because, you know, when you're young, maybe you've had a really bad argument with your parents, and then things are different for at least a couple of months, maybe, you know, if it's something very major.
True.
And so there is that element of Before the Worst, you know, before this all this happened, like, can't we just be that happy family we were? So I definitely feel there's a lot of ways to relate to the song, and some of the, like, more universal themes as we'll go down. But yeah, it's his voice, I think, just sells it so well.
I think maybe the lyrics are more universal than we can imagine, maybe, because there are so many situations that happen which you don't know about.
Yeah.
And it might fit in, and
yeah,
I mean, sure, we listen to it in a sort of single-minded perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we're relating it to our experiences, but, you know, it is.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
The mark of a good song is that, you know, and I said this, I think
it connects with you.
Yeah, like, the intent of the artist doesn't matter as much as, like, what people make out of mm-hmm. the art, and I think if people can connect to it in their own way. So yeah, moving on to the next track, it's called Talk You Down, and again, a very interesting song. I really like, you know, this song sort of, it creates this sort of parallel, it sort of uses suicide as a metaphor for a breakup, but in the context of this song, I think it works very well, because, you know, like, a relationship, it sort of has its own identity, you know, it's abstract, but it's something you've created together with your partner. And so, you know, a breakup is basically destroying that which you created together, which he calls relationship suicide. But I just think, you know, it's a very interesting metaphor in the way he uses it throughout the song. Standing on a tiny ledge before this goes over the edge, you know. He's trying to talk, you know, his partner or his girlfriend down from committing relationship suicide.
It's, I mean, I like how the song starts off with, with a visual feeling to it where someone's feeling scared and pale. And then it makes like perfect visual sense throughout, and as we go nearer to the chorus, it sort of escalates in its visual feeling, because then time is being well denoted by a cigarette, and you couldn't be that far, and
It's de
that sort
I
of
know exactly
imagery
what you're
is sort
saying. You
of,
start hearing it and you start picturing a type of
you can see
cigarette.
it happening. Yeah,
One
exactly.
of those songs, like a lot of these songs are actually like that, because I think you're
Exactly,
onto
yeah.
something there. There's like a storytelling aspect of these songs where he creates a narrative of starting with, like whatever picture he's creating in your head, like a storyteller, and then he keeps telling that story through the song. I mean, we'll see
Think
more
so,
of that in
because
the next one as well, which is The Man Who
I
Can't Be Moved, which is essentially a story in
mean,
that same
yeah.
way. The song starts going back to your corner. And
And it's very, so it feels more well explained, because
I never really thought of it that way,
these are
but it's true.
situations,
And
yeah,
even
right?
in the beginning when I heard the song, and he starts like going back to the corner where I first saw you, like in your head you just start picturing what he's saying, and there's a lot of visual
And it
elements and
just
visual cues
feels
that go
more,
with it.
exactly. It feels that there's a more of a connect to it. Like you feel the music, you feel what he's saying because you've seen it, because or you can probably see it.
Yeah, that's true. He uses and I mean he used using your experiences, life experiences, and putting them in a song, but also in a way where, like, you've seen people camping out places, even like obviously this
See me
experience
waiting for
being specific to
you
Dublin,
on the
but even
corner
in
of the
general in
street.
Bristol here in the UK as well. Like, you see people camping out and stuff, and a lot of times you don't really know what their story is, because everyone has a different story of why they're there, or what's actually
Yeah.
going on. And so this is it sort of puts a story in your head about a certain someone, and the imagery
It's,
you can always relate to.
it's
I'm
a
not broke, I'm
perfect,
just a broken-hearted man. But you can imagine
it's
people
a
trying to hand him
perfect
money.
protest song. It's a perfect protest song. Right? Like, you can actually see an entire protest happening in that sort of fashion.
Very, very
And,
interesting.
you'll just, especially the song, Man Who Can't Be Moved. It's, oh, sorry, you know, is that
That's the
song?
one we're
Yeah, Man
discussing,
Who
yeah,
Can't
The
Be
Man Who
Moved.
Can't Be Moved.
Yeah.
And it's,
Sorry.
surprisingly, this was. So, The Man Who Can't Be Moved wasn't originally in the album. The studio was quite happy with the album as it was. But the band ended up putting this in a bit more last minute. This was like the last song to be added. I think they were trying to sort of come up with what the identity of the album is, and they felt like they needed this one more song in there. Because I think, as we'll see, a lot of the songs skew towards that breakup sort of, or post-breakup scenario. And I think perhaps just adding this one song at the end. But again, one of the things of this song is that it's one of those songs that when it starts playing, I just can't help humming along, because the lyrics are simple enough to remember. The chorus is, it's a straightforward song, but it still feels very unique, the chorus
True.
and everything, and the way it's sang and the music. But
True.
yeah, I mean, that's what I was trying to say earlier as well. Like, I know some people have said that they sound generic, but to me, they very much have a very unique identity, and each of their songs as well tend to have a unique identity. Like, The Man Who Can't Be Moved is very different from Talk You Down, but it's
Right.
still the same instruments and things, but the actual song and the way it's arranged feels different, feels unique and fresh.
Just adding another perspective to it of them being generic, as someone mentioned to you. I think their songs, or the way they approach their songs, is more generic, so that's what makes them unique. Right? I mean, there's poetry, yes, but it's more of a,
They're not doing something like too experimental or anything, but it's
yeah, but they're doing it in a different
yeah.
way,
They're putting
I
their own
think.
spin to it, you
Yeah.
know. Like take a breakup song.
Probably, yeah.
There's plenty of breakup songs and love songs, and they can be generic, but they have a very unique spin to their own version of these.
True.
Yeah, so after The Man Who Can't Be Moved, we have Break Even, which is again a breakup song, and again one of my favorites, you know, can't help but hum along. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, this song goes on to something very common, you know, which is oftentimes when there's a breakup, when a heart breaks, it don't break even, to quote. You know, there's oftentimes there's like a winner in a breakup, but oftentimes you don't even know who won the breakup until months later on. Depending on who was able to sort of, if one of the parties were able to move on much more quickly. And I think it's one of those very core universal feelings that this song as well goes towards, that I feel like a lot of people can relate to it, having gone through something like a breakup, regardless, you know, whether you were the one winning or not, sort of put. Yeah.
For me, I think I'll jump back to the sound
Yeah.
designing bit where there's like there's voice modulation, there's those perfect gaps of silence, as well as the instruments. I don't know. I can't point my finger on
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think, you know, even in the beginning, the music, there's like the siren sound that like launches off the song, when the music starts. And I think, you know, it's, yeah, it's quite.
But in this song, his voice is echoing at points of time where and. His voice is rather, you'd feel it close to you by the time he reaches the chorus. Like that sort of happens throughout the song
Yeah.
for the entire length, and that adds an aspect to it which I don't know might go
Yeah.
unnoticed, but you'd feel that okay, right now he's probably talking out loud or he's talking to a lot of people, and his voice is echoing. And as he approaches the chorus, his voice, the echo goes like lesser and lesser, and
And like
then
the
we
main
hear
hook
the
of the song,
chorus
like, and the
noise.
main sort of riff, both for this Break Even and the previous song, The Man Who Can't Be Removed, like, they're so, again, like, I think the whole song is like based around that riff, especially Break Even, but it works so well, and it's very sort of, it's sort of upbeat, and you know, it keeps going, but the content of the song is much more about a breakup. But you know, it's a very interesting, like, again, mashup of music and lyrics and what the song is going for.
True.
But it's
True.
one of those songs, again, it starts playing and I'm instantly hooked. I'm like, yeah. And I think if you are someone who recently had a breakup or went through something, this song and the Man Who Can't Be Moved, I feel like they hit really hard. You know, they really have, as a band, like, they really poured their heart out. With these songs, I think. You know, it, yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
So the next song we have is
It's
Rusty
been a long
Halo. Now,
time.
I think this is one of the lesser played songs because I haven't heard it being played as much. And it also has a very different sound from the last two
True.
songs. But yeah, I mean, it's
It's
interesting.
got a
It's,
techno start
yeah.
to it, right?
It's this one. There's I feel like there's some like voice modulation and there's like synth and
Yeah.
also like it's very bass heavy as well. So there's some interesting musical choices, and I think this is one of the songs where the lyrics are a bit more poetic in nature, in the sense that there's like, as you know, the previous songs were very sort of straightforward. This is what the song is about. You know, I want to go back to the corner where I first met you. That's the song. I'm the man who can't be moved. Or you know. But this is a bit more abstract. This is like, I'm like, it's a new superhero. His power is that he can't be moved. But yeah, this song I think is a bit more abstract, and I feel like there's lots of different ways to interpret it. Like I've written down, you know, it feels either you could take it as almost like a Judgment Day approaching, and you know, or it could be more about perhaps like running from death, but it's always coming, but you know, we're always running from it. And so I think there's different ways to look at it. And I think again, related.
I think it's to explain pain, they've gone little biblical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that sort of, you know, you just go like, don't know what's coming, and maybe, I don't know, he's talking about like stardom in the song?
Could be.
Because
interestingly, and I think we'll get to it, there's a bonus.
What's the track. Rusty Halo, basically?
Yeah, there's a bonus track as well later on, and I feel like there's some parallels to this song, and I think we'll discuss that when we get to the bonus track. But this song itself, Rusty Halo, it feels like, you know, I think depending on where you are in life or what you're going through, I think there's lots of different ways to relate to it. But essentially, you know, you're running from something which is inevitable at the end of the day, is sort of what the song seems to be about.
True.
Right.
Or maybe just, you know, maybe it's like a pep talk, you know, to
could be.
Sort of capture your destiny, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're really over analyzing it now, but there's an element where I felt that it almost feels like, say, someone did something wrong, like illegal, or even committed a murder or something, and then they're running from it because they know, you know, judgment is coming. But at the same time, it feels like they don't feel bad for what they did because it's like it's been a long time coming. So it makes it feel like it was deserved, like whatever happened, it was going to happen, you know, it was at the breaking point. But, you know, shine my rusty halo. So like, judgment is coming and I'm going to try and leave a good impression, but I don't know, you know. So there's elements in it. Sure. I think it's just interesting, but I don't really know what the original intent was or what that it was that they were trying to convey here.
Yeah.
And so the next song I have is The End Is Where I Begin, which I think, again, one of my favorite songs from the album. And just a bit of background, so I was looking into like how this song came about, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce his name right. So, you know, Danny, the main guy, the main singer, and then Mark Sheehan, is that how it's pronounced? Both of them sort of lost their parents during the writing and producing of a song. And so I think they decided to take the production job on themselves, and losing two people close to them, like it says here, you know, it's a direct quote I have here, that the end where I begin really speaks about that moment. Like, both my mom and Danny's father saw our struggles and supported it so much. The end of something is also a beginning of something new, is what my mom drilled into my head before her passing. So we seem to relive that emotion every single time we play it. It's very tough but relevant. So I think with a lot of the other songs, it comes from a deep place. Like, they are pouring their heart out.
True.
With this.
Right. Well, that's deep. That's really deep.
I mean, the song feels very grand, doesn't it? This one, The End Is Where I Begin. It starts off, and the music and the singing and the lyrics, to me, it just feels very like larger than life type song.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but the songs, like all the songs in this album, they start with a premise and then you sort of get pushed into the song.
Yeah.
Right, and this one has a longer premise than the rest of the songs, which I don't know. It's also interesting because
there's a lot of build-up.
Sort of, yeah. So before pushing you in, you sort of get to know a little more about the song, or you get to feel the song a little more than the other ones.
Yeah,
and even besides that, it's like healing wounds quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what it sort of sums it up.
Without knowing, because like this is, you know, I recently found out about this, that this song was also influenced by the, you know, they're losing one of their parents. But to me, the song always seemed like the song where you've hit rock bottom. Like, this is the lowest place, lowest point where you could be at. And now you're turning over like a new page because you know you can't go any lower. Now, you know, the end is where I begin. Now that I've hit this rock bottom, now my life starts. So, and the tune and the music and the way the song is structured, I'm just a sucker for these type of songs. You know, with this type of build up and this type of sort of lyrics. So this is one of the songs to me in this album, to me, that stands out a lot more because it just feels very different from something, you know, listening to the rest of the album, you wouldn't expect something like this in there. It just feels very different to me. But I think it's just something I get more personal. I just feel more, like especially the music, you know, it really draws me in.
I think it's the lyrics that would get me drawn to it. I mean, it goes more poetic, and now that you've told me the story behind it, I might attach myself a little more to it.
Yeah, I'm always interested in finding out, like, what, you know, if there is a story behind a song or how they came about to writing it. Because sometimes you picture something in your head, but it's very different from what the original, like, reason was.
Intent.
So moving on to the next song, we have Fall for Anything, which is sort of like advice for people who keep find themselves getting trapped in like destructive or manipulative relationships over and over
relationships
again.
Yeah, right,
it's like, come on, have a bit of self-respect, stand for yourself.
I think it's more like from a lover to a, well, fuckboy?
could be. I think it's, it's just like...
It'll be more apt for that kind of setup, yeah. Like, stop falling for anything and, you know, just be with me or take care of yourself because I would want you to be happy, but
even
then
just talking
be
to a
safe
friend,
as well.
You know, just being like...
Exactly, like, yeah.
Sort out your stuff. You can't keep getting stuck in these destructive cycles.
As you said, it's just an advice.
Yeah. And if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So, you know, he says that in the song itself. And
it's a recommendation.
I mean, so that really is it. And then the next song is If You See K. So this song was created with direct involvement with the fans, and I didn't know about this. Again, I've got a quote here. I'm just trying to see if I can reduce it down. But they basically threw up a verse and a chorus online, and the fans really enjoyed it. And then it was like a back and forth process of however they ended up writing the song. So this is very much like it's the song's written with a lot of fan feedback, basically.
Right.
And you know, K is, if you see K, you could take K as like a code name for a girl. But I don't know if you ever thought of this, but, and I think a lot of people feel that if you see K is basically F-U-C-K.
And I was just going to say kudos to the wordplay.
Yeah, and you know, the lyrics actually do make sense with that in place as well. So I think it's one of those smart writings. Because it makes sense even if you see K, tell her this, tell her that. But otherwise it could be just an internal monologue as well.
It's basically something like, you know, fuck it, I'm gonna swing it anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just see what's gonna happen. I don't know.
So, you know, it's an interesting song. It is one of those songs where a little bit like, you know, you wouldn't really expect it in this album, but it works. And so the next song.
One more thing that I don't know if you found out. Do you know? So there's a line in there which says, "Make sure you say I'm sweet FA without her."
Yeah, I remember looking this up.
So, what's FA, or is that a flip AF, or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's one of those things where it could be, I think.
Right, because it says I'm sweet
FA,
FA without her, so
yeah.
it's, you maybe they've just flipped it.
Around, yeah.
It also goes with the rhyme,
Yeah,
so.
I remember seeing something about this, but I can't remember what it was. But someone did make some sense out of it. It's just interesting to go online and also see what people have thought about,
Yeah.
some of these songs, which are a bit more, a bit more difficult to understand what it's exactly about.
More, you'd have to be more perceptive, I
Yeah.
guess.
So yeah, I mean, to be fair, I always thought that the FUCK and FUCK was just like a weird coincidence that I noticed. But when I actually looked up online, it's like, no, actually, people are convinced that that is what the song is. So yeah, so the next song is officially the last song of the album, called "I'm Yours," and I think you introduced this song to me because even though I had heard of the script and I'd heard the songs, I hadn't heard this particular song. And I still remember when I first heard
There you
it all
have
those years back, I could not believe this was the script or this was Danny singing, because his voice to me sounds very different in this
I
song,
think
and the music
I
sounds
think
different.
I remember introducing you to this in your car.
Yeah, it was a while back, I think. And then I just remember listening,
Yeah.
hearing it and being like, is this the script? It doesn't sound like the script. And again, the guitaring is very beautifully done, very different from the other songs. Surprisingly, the first half of the album is a bit more upbeat and more fast-paced, and the second half of the album has some of the slower songs, and this being, I think, one of the
I
slower
mean,
ones.
I'm Yours goes to a different dimension of,
Yeah, I mean the
the kind of music that
Yeah, I
they've
mean
done
the
before
instrumental part with the guitar is like unlike anything in the rest of their album,
that. Yeah.
in any of the other songs. So it's definitely a very different song, and it's one of those songs, again, I haven't heard it played that much commercially, but I just think it's still such a great song, and I think it does have a big appeal. Maybe perhaps it got overshadowed by some of the other bigger hits of the album, and this wasn't really released as a single ever,
Yeah.
but it's yeah.
I think Man Who Can't Be Moved and something
Break
like
Even
Before the
was
Worst
very
would
big,
be
yeah.
Break Even, yeah. Like that would be more accepted
Yeah. Well, it's
and
more
that's
commercial,
because
isn't it?
that's more
Yeah.
catchy, yeah.
But yeah, I think "I'm Yours" is it's a great love song, and a great song to really end the album at. Really, yeah.
True.
And
On a soft note, actually.
yeah. A bit mellow,
On
and
a, yeah.
well, that's the thing. So it depends what where you're listening to the album to, like Apple Music or Spotify. So there are some bonus tracks. So I noticed on Spotify, the song "Anybody There" is included as the last song of the album, and I don't know if you've heard any of "Anybody There" now, like for this video. Did you hear it? Because otherwise, I'm sure you have heard
No.
of it. So, because the thing is, when I saw it has two bonus tracks, "Anybody There" and "Live Like We're Dying," I didn't think I had heard them. But once I listened to it, I was like, "Yeah, I've heard these songs. Are they not like normally part of the album?" Because I think both of the songs are something. Yeah,
Probably.
if you go afterwards and you hear. So I'll just. I mean, "Anybody
Yeah.
There" is a bit more. It's a bit more like existential, and it's like, is anybody there? Like, is God there? If heaven is only for winners, I don't care because I won't know anybody there. And that's when I said I feel like this song is more related to Rusty Halo, in a sense.
I don't know. I think I've heard anybody there on I think some
I'm sure you've
random
heard both.
YouTube
I'm sure
search.
you've heard both. Even "Live
Yeah.
Like We're Dying," because even that one is more about like turning a new page in life and like basically live like you're dying. But both those songs are great songs, and I had heard them a lot of times before. I just didn't know that they were bonus tracks, and they're not actually included on the Apple Music album. Spotify has "Anybody There," and then
They're
stuff
not
like
even on the deluxe or
yeah,
the
not on Apple
script by the
Music.
script
Yeah,
deluxe.
but "Live Like We're Dying," I heard on YouTube. But I've definitely heard these songs before, so I don't know if they used to be included in the standard release at some point when when we transitioned to streaming like Spotify and stuff. what really happened there. But I've definitely heard them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the whole album. You know, overall, I think a great debut album, like a good mix of like fast-paced, upbeat songs, mm-hmm. and then also like a bit slower and
all of them
mellow songs.
As I said, like all of them have that slow sort of intro or premise.
Yeah,
before
that's quite interesting.
You get pushed into the song.
This premise, yeah. And then there's like the storytelling
yeah.
aspect going forward where they just go deeper in the story. So it's very easy
exactly.
to think of it visually when you're hearing it.
Musically, lyrically, yeah. and visually.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think most of the songs do have to do with sort of love and breakup. I think the only ones...
Mm-hmm.
The first song, We Cry, is more sort of universal. And then I think the only other song is probably Rusty Halo. And maybe the end is Where I Begin, which are again not really breakup or love songs, but just life in general. But all I think rest of the songs
general,
are
yeah.
sort of based around love or breakup, which seems to be the overall sort of theme of the album, I'd say. But I think, you know, very strong debut album. Made me a fan of the band.
Yeah.
And
same.
Yeah, really is it, you know?
I mean, I love the lyrics. That's something that would stand out
yeah.
out of this album.
Yeah, I think, you know, this album and the next Script album,
yeah.
Science and Faith, even both the albums together, I think they work really well because they do tread over similar themes. And there are some songs,
true.
You know, that feel like they could have been part of this album or vice versa. But that's for another day.
Yes. True.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to add about the album? Any final thoughts?
I think we've covered most of it. Just something about I'm Yours that I felt it's after the album, it felt like a submission,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a submission of himself to whoever he's been writing the songs for.
Yeah. Or like a dedication.
Right.
Sort of, yeah. I mean,
if you take it like
it
that.
Interesting,
because so, yeah.
that is the only love song in the sense it's not to do about a breakup. The other songs
yeah,
are all breakup
exactly.
songs. They're not really like love songs. They're about getting back together. But this one doesn't have anything about breaking up. This is just that, just admitting I'm yours type situation.
So basically at the end of the fighting, you sort
yeah.
of, I just like, you know, I'm, but I'm yours.
Yeah, well, I think that does it. Thank you very much for tuning in, guys, and we'll be back in a week with another video discussing another album or another artist.
Mm-hmm.
See you soon.
Something.
Bye.
Something music. Bye. Perfect sense of, I don't know, fuck, I blanked out.
You're right. So it makes what were you trying
fuck.
To get to?
But it's like we've got another blooper.
We've got two bloopers in one video here, guys.